Our text this afternoon is the verse 22 of Jeremiah chapter 8. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? I want to begin by telling a story. It's the story of an old preacher, and he's dying. And as he lies upon his deathbed, he sent for his doctor and his lawyer to come and visit him in his home. And when they arrived, the two men were ushered into the bedroom where the old preacher lay dying. And as they entered into the room, he held out his hands to them and motioned for one to sit at one side of the bed and the other at the other side. And he took them by the hand, and as he held their hands, he sighed contentedly, smiled, and put his head back upon the pillow. Now, for a time, nothing was said. Both the doctor and the lawyer were flattered that the old preacher had asked for them, but during those dying moments they began to be puzzled as to why they should be the ones that would attend him in his death. And finally the doctor turned and said, "Preacher, why did you ask for us to come here?" The old preacher stirred from his pillow and said, "The Bible tells us that when our Saviour died, that he died between two thieves, and that's how I want to die also." Let me go on record and say that not all doctors and lawyers are thieves. We know some very good doctors and some very good lawyers. The cost, however, of seeing them might cause us to think otherwise sometimes. Now, when we look at our text, we find that it's doctors and medicine and health that's the subject. We find three questions being asked. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? The first question has medicine as its subject. The second question is about doctors, and then the third about health. I was reading some statistics from the Australian Bureau of Health of men and women in Australia. 15% of Australians report that they are in fair or poor health. Over 8 million report to having a long-term health condition. The leading cause of death overall is heart disease. Amongst others, we've got cancer, stroke, chronic lower respiratory disease, diabetes, pneumonia, influenza, and Alzheimer's taking up the top positions. However, the health that is subject here in our text is not a physical health, but a spiritual health. And so the question, is there not a balm in Gilead, is to do with our spiritual condition rather than our physical one. And so I want us to examine this text, and I trust that it will speak to us about the true need that we have. And I want you to notice, first of all, the balm that is required. This word balm, B-A-L-M, that Jeremiah is speaking about, was a substance, a commodity that was very popular in this time, and it was celebrated for its medicinal qualities. The word itself comes from a rendering of a Hebrew word that denotes a type of gum or resin that came from a tree that grew in the province of Gilead. It was said to have been a very valuable commodity. It was sold by Arab and Phoenician merchants all across the known world at that time. You'll remember back in the book of Genesis, the story of Joseph, how he was thrown into a pit by his brothers, only for a caravan to pass that way. That was, they were traveling to Egypt. And the Bible tells us that this caravan was a group of Ishmaelites from Gilead. And one of the articles that they were carrying was this balm that was found in the area. Genesis 37 and verse 25 reads, "And they," that's the brothers, "sat down to bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked. And behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead, with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going down to carry it to Egypt." Tradition says that this is one of the gifts that the Queen of Sheba brought to Solomon from Gilead. The value and the worth of this balm, such as it was in the days of Solomon, that the king actually took the land that these trees grew on, and it became part of the royal revenue for his palace. It was during the time of the Romans that battles were actually fought for the possession of this balm. When Vespasian entered Rome in his triumphal procession, one of the symbols of his victory that he carried with him was a tree from which this balm came. As I said, it was a celebrated balm. It was used for medicinal purposes, and it was thought to be of the highest quality for medical needs. And so when the question is asked, is there no balm in Gilead? The thought behind the question was with regards to the health of the people. Now, what was the health of the people at this time? When and why was this balm required in Jeremiah chapter 8? Well, if you look at verse 18, we find one reason why the balm was needed. "Because of sorrowful hearts, when I would comfort myself against sorrow, my heart is faint in me." Jeremiah is speaking of a sorrowful heart. And the word sorrow speaks of the grief that comes because of affliction. He says that my heart is faint in me. His heart is sick within him. He's sick with sorrow. There is a sorrowing of the heart that requires the healing balm to be applied. In Psalm 13 and verse 2, the psalmist spoke of his heart being filled with sorrow on a daily basis. In Psalm 38 and verse 17, he speaks of his sorrow as being continually before him. In Psalm 107 and verse 39, he speaks of being brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. Maybe like the psalmist, the circumstances of our life have brought to us a daily or a continual sorrow. And maybe it has brought us low. It has cast down our hearts. I know that there are some who seem to have more sorrow than others, but I suspect that if you look closely enough at every life and in every home, you'll find that there's not one who has been bypassed. Each and every one of us have been touched at some point or in some way with sorrow and affliction. It's common to us all. Our hearts have been broken. We're discouraged and downhearted. And there is need for the balm to be applied to fix and to mend the sorrowing heart. But it wasn't just a sorrowing heart that Jeremiah found in his country. When you go to the very next verse, verse 19, we find there's also a sinful heart. "Behold the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people, because of them that dwell in a far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images and with strange vanities?" Jeremiah is preaching and writing to a people that have turned away from the one true God. And they've turned away in order to worship false gods and to fall down before graven images. So not only is there a heart that's filled with sorrow, there's a heart that's filled with sin. God has been forsaken and forgotten. And I suspect that just in the same as Jeremiah's day, there are in our own day those whose hearts are filled with sorrow and those whose hearts are filled with sin. With no room for God, no time for the Almighty, with little or no thought given to matters of life and death and of eternity. When it comes to the Lord, there is no place for him in your life. And instead of the Lord being enthroned upon our heart is filled with the things that displease him and grieve him. You notice that it says that they have provoked the Lord to anger with their graven images and their strange vanities. Jeremiah uses an interesting expression there about the idolatry of the people. He calls it strange vanities. The word strange really means foreign, or that which was the characteristic of the heathen nations around them. Vanity speaks of that which is empty or vain. And in effect, he's saying their sinfulness is due to an empty heart. Their idolatry has left them with a huge vacuum in their life. They're searching for something. They're trying to fill that emptiness with the things of the world. But really what they truly need is the Lord himself. You'll find that's always the case. That's always the story of sin. It leaves us with an empty heart. I think of the hymn writer when he tells us of how he tried the broken cisterns of the world, but they left him thirsting still. That's how sin is. It promises much, but it delivers little. Its pleasures are fleeting, lasting only for a season. And at the end, there's only more emptiness, more sorrow. And for this sinful heart and sorrowing heart, Jeremiah asked the question, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there nothing that can heal the sorrowing heart or the sinful heart? Now, is there no balm in Gilead is the first question. Is there no hope? Is there no balm in Gilead? Gilead was a mountainous region to the east of Jordan. You remember that the prophet Elijah was from that area. It was in Gilead where Jacob encountered the angel of the Lord as he wrestled with him at Peniel. It was to Gilead that David retreated when his life was in danger from Saul. It's the location of the Church of Philadelphia that we read of in the book of Revelation. The name means rough or rugged. It was a rugged country with peaks reaching over 1,000 meters high. And in amongst those rugged peaks, there were little areas of grassland that were famous for its herds and flocks. The King's Highway went through this area. That was an important international trade route. Agriculturally, it was significant. Logistically, it was important. And in the midst of it, we've got this wonderful provision, a balm in Gilead. For 50 generations, Gilead formed its plantations of this aromatic and medicinal herbs and balms. And so when he asks, is there no balm in Gilead? He's asking in such a way that he's expecting the response, yes, of course there's balm in Gilead. Of course there's medicine for the sorrowful and the sinful heart. Well, where is it to be found? We don't look to an area in Jordan today for medicinal purposes. We're looking to a far greater source of help. There's a far greater balm for our broken hearts, for the lives that have been broken by the cares of this life. Is there a healing available for you? Yes, there is. But what about for the sinful heart? Is there a cure for the sinful heart? Is there one who can come and take away all of the guilt and the impurities and the filth that's found in our sinful hearts? Is there a balm for a heart that's been left empty because of sin? Yes, there is. And if you're tired of that empty and wasted life, I have good news for you. There is a balm in Gilead. Pliny described the balm. He said, the tree from which it comes is all medicinal. The chief virtue is found in the juice or the sap. The second in the seed. The third in the rind. The last in the stalk. He says it brings comfort both by tasting and smelling. Has sorrow left a bad taste in your mouth? Has sin left you with that foul smell and stench? There's a balm in Gilead. There's hope to be found. This particular balm has perished from the face of the earth, but I remind you that heaven has a plenteous supply of what our hearts truly need. Is there a physician? Is there a physician? No doubt because of the balm, physicians were found in large numbers in the area. And when the question was asked if there was a physician to be found in Gilead, again the answer is yes. There were plenty of physicians to be found in Gilead. You could say that there was a doctor's office on every corner. Well then, is there a doctor available to treat the sorrowful and the sinful heart? Yes, the great physician is here. The sympathizing Savior, the one who is the Lord that heals, Jehovah Rophi, the Lord our physician. As believers, we have a great physician for our soul. He is able to treat the sorrowful heart. He is able to treat the sinful heart. This good physician yet lives and will be a friend to all who calls upon him. When he walked upon the earth, he healed all that came his way. He raised the sick from sick beds. He healed the lame. He gave sight to the blind. He gave hearing to the deaf. He even raised to life those that were dead. He has lost none of his ancient power. The prophet Malachi declared, "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings." There is a great physician. And our Savior not only healed the bodies of those who came to him sick, but better still, he healed the soul. He cleansed away the sin. He made them pure before God. Is there a balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Then tell me, if there's a medicine, a cure, and a doctor to prescribe it, why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? If there's healing properties in this balm and a physician to apply it, then why is the health of my daughter not recovered? Why do the people remain sick? And there can only be one answer to this question. The people have obviously refused to take advantage of that which was available to them. I think of a pastor that I heard of a number of years ago whose wife died of cancer. The family really found out somewhat by accident that she was even sick. And they made her go to the doctor, and when she eventually went, it was too late. And she was dead within a month. She had known she was sick for some time, but she had never said anything to anyone. She never visited her doctor. We might ask ourselves, why would we continue to carry around a burden of sorrow or a heart filled with sin when there is a cure to be found and one able to supply it? Why would we refuse to deal with our guilt before God when there's one who is available to take it away? Who's able to bind up the broken heart because of sorrow? Who's able to cleanse the sinful hearts? If you would seek and find that healing for the heart that's broken by sorrow and healing for the heart that's bound by sin, then you must come to the physician who has the cure. Where's the balm to be found? In Gilead. If we are to find healing for the sicknesses of our heart, where must we go? We go to another rocky region. We go to that Mount Calvary, to the foot of the cross where the Saviour died. We come to the throne of His grace. We come and we beseech Him to help us where no others can help us. There's only healing to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a place to where you must go. You must go to Calvary. And there's a person that you must see. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one who can heal that broken heart. He is the only one who has a remedy for the sin-sick life. I read of a car repair shop that had a sign in its window, "We mend everything except broken hearts." Well, there's one who is able to mend the broken heart, who can heal the sin-sick soul. You can go to the best hospitals in the world and they can give you a new heart. They can't heal a broken heart, and they can't cleanse a sinful heart, but the Lord Jesus Christ can. And you go to your doctor and you say, "Doctor, I need help for this ailment that I have." Without doubt, to the best of his ability, he will prescribe the medication that you need and perhaps a change of life and lifestyle. But the Lord Jesus is the physician who can do the changing for you. He can make you a new creation. Check out his credentials, his references. There are thousands upon thousands all across the face of this world whose lives have been transformed by his healing power. And as you come to him, there is a prescription that he will give to you that you must take if you're going to be healed. You see, it's not enough just to go and see the doctor. It's not enough to receive the script from his hand and to go to the pharmacy and receive the medication. There's plenty of people do that, but the medication sits upon a shelf and the only thing they've done is wasted their money and their time. You must take the medication. You must take it and apply it as it is designed to be used. Well, the Lord Jesus has a prescription for you. And it depends upon your case, but if you're sin sick, then the prescription very simply is this: to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Because whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is a prescription that will call for repentance, a turning from your sin and a turning to the Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance and faith in him as your Savior and as Lord of your life. For those whose hearts are filled with sorrow, his prescription will be to cast your cares upon him, for he careth for you. To trust in him at all times, to pour out your heart before him, for God is a refuge for our souls. It's a prescription that says in the words of Proverbs 3 and verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." Why continue to live frustrated empty, miserable lives when there is a balm, a cure, and a physician available? Why carry the burdens that have weighed you down with sorrow and sin for so long when there is one who is able to deliver you? Back in Northern Ireland, where we lived, in the little village of Warringstown, the next town along to us was the town of Banbridge. Now, it probably means very little to you here, but Banbridge was the town in which Joseph Scriven was born and raised. On the day before his wedding, his bride-to-be was crossing a bridge and, well, she accidentally drowned the day before her wedding. And when Joseph Scriven saw her body being taken from the water, it said that he suffered a shock that stayed with him for the remainder of his life. Trying to forget the tragedy, he left his hometown of Banbridge and moved to Canada, where he spent the rest of his life trying to help the less fortunate in the towns of Lake Rice and Port Hope. After some years in Canada, I think it was about 10 years, he received news that his mother was going through a time of testing and grief, and in order to comfort her, he wrote a poem for her that he entitled "A Friend Who Understands," and he sent it to her. Sometime later, that poem would be put to music, and we sing it often. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Oh, there is a cure, and there is one who can help. Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Well, for the very reason that Joseph Scriven wrote, because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Come to the Saviour. Find the cure that he offers, the healing that he alone can give. Find that hope for the sorrowful heart, that cleansing for the sinful heart, because there is a great physician who cares for our soul. We urge you with all of our hearts to come to him, if you haven't already, to find that peace which he alone can give, that cleansing that he alone can provide. Because the only reason that you're not saved and have no hope is because you have not come and you have not received from his hand the cleansing that he offers. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? May we find in the Lord Jesus Christ the Saviour who truly saves. May the Lord bless his word for our hearts this afternoon. Amen.